We turn in the Word of God tonight to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto Thee. Thou, which hast shown me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought into shame, and that seek my hurt. Our text this evening is found in verses 17 and 18 of this chapter. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. The Word of God, of course, addresses saints of all ages. We found last week in our sermon that it addressed and admonished the youth of the Church of Jesus Christ and instructed them to remain faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. There are many passages that address the needs of families in the Church, mothers and fathers in their home. There are passages of the Word of God that address the widows and the fatherless in their needs. The Word of God addresses single saints, calling them too to a life of faithfulness before God. The Bible addresses male and female, so that the preaching of God's Word on all of these various passages dealing with the different saints of the Church give to us a wide variety of instruction that is to be given to God's people. So one group of saints, however, in the Church that oftentimes the preaching does not address, and that is the elderly in the Church of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's because the concern of the elderly, together with all of the church, is for the future generations that arise in the Church of Jesus Christ. Or maybe it is simply out of sheer neglect that the preacher fails to preach to the elderly in the Church of Jesus Christ. Whatever the case, we are going to address the needs of the elderly saint tonight. I felt that since we address the youth of the church, we ought to go to the opposite end of the spectrum this evening and address the aged in the church. As we do so, we need to know that the Church of Jesus Christ needs elderly saints. They are an integral and an active part of the Church of Jesus Christ. God uses elderly saints in the church for the welfare of his covenant and its blessings. Tonight, we hope to see this. God's people of all ages in the church have an essential role in the covenant that God establishes in the line of generations. Certainly, that does not exclude the older men and women of the church either. The psalm before us is written by David, and it's written, as becomes evident in the passage we consider tonight, as well as in verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." It's evident that David, in writing this psalm, was already an old man. The occasion for this psalm is not exactly sure. Many commentators want to say that it was written in the time of Absalom's rebellion against David. Already David was an elderly king at that point in his life. But whether that's true or not cannot be certain. Nevertheless, that David is old when writing this psalm is certain. And it is this age of David that stands on the foreground in the passage before us tonight. Another outstanding feature of this particular psalm is that the entire psalm is a prayer, really. The passage we consider is just one request of a prayer that is made throughout this entire psalm. And in that prayer, David, first of all, requests that God forsake him not in his old age, especially when his enemies still rise up against him. But he also expresses the assurance that God preserves his people throughout their lives from their youth on. And it's these two aspects of the calling of older saints that we are going to consider also tonight. We consider tonight the desire of the aged. In the first place, holy reflections. Secondly, present desire. And then finally, future blessings. The psalmist refers to himself as old and gray-headed. Question always arises in this connection, what constitutes old age? Am I old or am I still young? The terms David uses here are rather telling in that regard. The term old comes from the root word chin, and the idea expressed in it is that of the chin hanging down. An old person has a chin that hangs down. And when I say hanging down, of course, I don't mean by that some old person that's close to death with their mouth hanging open and their chin hanging down. That's not the idea of this rather picturesque Hebrew term that we have before us tonight. It speaks of the skin under your chin hanging down. Why is it that there are so many people in today's society that seek cosmetic surgery? Well, it's because gravity is beginning to show on their old body and their skin begins to hang. And That's most prevalent, isn't it, when we look at an old person of that skin hanging down beneath their chin. That's why the many facelifts that we find in our society, because people today are always trying to keep themselves looking young. That's why we find also the term used by David, gray-headed. Not everybody, of course, becomes gray. Some become bald. But nevertheless, that is an expression of a person who is becoming older in life. Their hair starts to turn gray. And although we realize that, again, in today's society, that's oftentimes covered over by means of dyeing one's hair a different color, nevertheless, we ought not to mistake the fact that there are plenty of gray-headed people, even though perhaps that gray is not showing so readily today. So David has in mind, of course, a person as they're starting to get older. Their hair is turning gray, perhaps even white. Their skin is not as flexible or as tight and as durable as it was at one time in their lives. Now, I realize that perhaps this evening we would rather me stand up here and give to us a specific age in which we are old. The passage of God's Word before us tonight doesn't give to you and me a specific age when one is old. So there's no qualified answer for you and me. Here's the question. Can we see in ourselves the effects of time? On our bodies and on our minds. To the degree that we see that, to that degree we are getting old. The Bible here does not mean that we are so old that we are decrepit. When it speaks of old age, it refers to those who reach around the age of retirement or beyond. Even we recognize a certain age when we simply do not function as well as what we used to in our lives. The prime of life is past. Middle age is beyond us. Old age means that I have lived longer on this earth than I will live in the future. Or perhaps to put it in other words, the years left in my life are fewer now than the years that I have already lived in this world. David here sees himself as old enough to reflect back upon the years of his childhood and youth. Oftentimes that happens when a person grows somewhat older too. They reflect back on their life in this world. And that is what David does before speaking of his desire now as an old man. In verse 17 of our text, he reflects back on his life in the past and says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. What a beautiful testimony of an elderly saint. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. David testifies of God's faithfulness to him in his past life. From his youth, God taught David his wondrous works. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that David himself personally wasn't taught before that time. David certainly was taught from infancy on. He gives testimony to that a little earlier on in this chapter, too, when he speaks of himself being cast upon the Lord from his mother's womb. David had God-fearing parents. Jesse and his wife taught David and his brothers the fear of the Lord and to walk in the way of God's precepts, so that David was given to know God already from his infancy on. But David specifically mentions in the words of our text tonight that God has taught him from his youth. And he does that because it was in his youth that David himself began to declare the wondrous works of God in his life. You see, so long as we are little children in the home, we are in training, so to speak. We are still learning. We're still dependent entirely upon mother and father for the decisions that we make in life. When we become young men in the church, or young women, we make our confession of faith, and thus begins our active walk in the church in that faith. And it is this that David means when he says, "Thou hast taught me since my youth." David does not refer to the fact that prior to that time he was not taught. He most definitely was. But David is referring to this truth in particular. It was now that David was being taught by God through experience the works and the ways of God with him. We know well that David, already as a very young man, was being taught by God when he was out there taking care of his father's sheep and had to fight away bears and wolves. He knew very well what it meant to be held within God's almighty hand when he was a youth and went up against a giant named Goliath. We know very well what David learned already as a young man when he had to flee from the face of King Saul and hide himself in dens and caves of the earth. All of that took place already when David was yet in his youth. And David was learning firsthand. He was learning experientially the wondrous works of God in his life. That's indeed what God was teaching him, his wondrous works. David expresses that in verse 17 now of our text. But what were these wondrous works that David was being taught through all of these experiences in life? Well, David points that out a little bit more specifically to us in verse 15, just prior to our text. "My mouth," he says, "shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." And then if we read verse 10 or 17, "Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. My mouth shall show forth," I will declare, "thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." Those are the wondrous works, really, that David now was being taught by God and that he declared. It means, people of God, we ought to at least consider very briefly what those terms righteousness there and salvation refer to, because these are the wondrous works of our text. By the term righteousness, David is not referring to the work of God in justifying him. I mean, no doubt about it, that was one of God's wondrous works in David's life, and it's one of God's wondrous works in our own lives as well. But that's not the reference here in the passage before us. What David means by this is that God had shown himself faithful to him at all times in his life, never failing David. That revealed to David God's righteousness. How so? Because, beloved saints, God had chosen David from all eternity, from the foundations of the world, to be one of his own. And when he chose David in Christ. All of God's elect are chosen in Christ, Old and New Testament alike. And God has saved him in Christ too, just as he saves you and me in Christ. God has, according to his promises to you and me, saved us from our sin and our guilt. We're chosen from eternity. We are saved in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, according to his promises, imparts to you and me that salvation that we have received in Christ. We become partakers of Christ's righteousness. We are God's people. We are God's children in this world. God is our God. We are his people. And he has promised to you and to me, as those who have been saved in Jesus Christ, we are his. And that he will never forsake us. He's given us that promise. Well, now, if God has chosen us from eternity, if God has accomplished our salvation in Jesus Christ, and if God has given us the promise that he'll never forsake us, and then God would turn around and forsake us, he would be a pretty unjust God, wouldn't he? After having done all of that, David says, I will declare the fact that God is righteous. All of his works and ways with me, God has dealt righteously with me, and he has dealt righteously with me because he has never left me or forsaken me in my needs. Since my youth, I know that from experience, and I've gone through some pretty hard experiences. That's something that we say as elderly saints in the church as well. We declare that. God has not forsaken us, but has led us through some pretty hard experiences in life, and here we stand, and God has been faithful. Well, if God is righteous, and he is, then we can also say that God has saved us to the fullest extent. And again, that word salvation there doesn't just simply point out the fact that God has saved you and me from sin and death. Yes, he has done that too. But God has saved us to the fullest extent so that he saves you and me time and time and time again. How often it is in our lives, how often it was true of David too, that we fall into sin. And we're not very faithful to God in our lives. In fact, we realize that because of our sin, we are really deserving of death and hell, punishment for sin. But on the basis of our salvation in Jesus Christ, God saves us over and over and over again. Our enemies would destroy us in this world. How often Satan has pounced upon us. How often our sinful flesh has led us away from the commandments of God. How often this wicked world looks so alluring to us and draws us away in temptation from God. Those are our enemies. And if God didn't save us over and over and over again from our enemies, we surely had been swallowed up alive. We sing of that. So when David speaks of salvation here, he's speaking of the fact that God is constantly delivering us from our enemies and from our sin. He saved us in many real and concrete ways. Look at David's life. He delivered David, didn't he, from Goliath. He delivered David from Saul. He just had delivered David from his own son Absalom, who had rebelled against him. Time and time again, God had saved David or delivered David from his foes. So, as aged saints, we reflect back across our lives in this world, and we see how God was righteous and how he has saved us over and over and over again. Then too, as we reflect, we also see how God has worked in us so that we might have declared these wondrous works of God. Don't forget, that's what David is speaking of here in verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, experientially, I've gone through all of these things, and I have been taught in a very real and concrete way by thy hand from my youth. And hitherto, up to this point now, when I'm old, hitherto, I declared thy wondrous works. The elderly saint in the church can say that. Hitherto, I have declared thy works. Now, we may not have been as faithful as we should have in that regard, but we did declare the works of God in our salvation. Maybe we were not as bold as we should have been in our youth and as we pass through our middle age, but many have been the instances that we have testified of our faith to others. And now here we stand as older saints in the church. And yes, I do include myself now, as hard as sometimes that is to admit, as an older saint in the church. When we reflect back across our lives, then we see in the first place how we, as elderly saints, have declared God's works to our children. Hours were spent teaching children. We spent time taking them by the hand and leading them to the cross of Christ. Took time out to sing with them the songs of Zion. We spoke to others of what we believed. When neighbors or friends or men or women at work asked of us the faith that dwelt within us, then we spoke of those things to them. So our whole lives, we remained as faithful witnesses to Jehovah, not only by means of the words that we spoke, but in our actions as well. Faithful church attendance that spoke to our children and hopefully still speaks to our grandchildren of God's faithfulness to us. In the church, we declare God's wondrous works. Even if it meant leaving our old lives, our old habits, and our old friends behind to become a part of the Church of Jesus Christ in this world, that speaks volume to our children and our grandchildren. Even if it meant persevering in the truth of God's Word in the church when we see others forsaking it and leaving the church, we declared in that way the wondrous works of God in our lives. In all of those actions, as well as in our words, each time, even now that we sing forth the songs of Zion in the midst of the church, we are declaring together the wondrous works of our God. Those are the holy reflections that David gives in the Word of God before us tonight. God has been with me since my youth, has kept me and taught me His wondrous works, and now in my life I've declared them to the generation that was to come. Then, having reflected now back across the years that God had preserved him in his life, David now makes this request of God in verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now I am old, David says. I know that my body and my mind is growing weaker. I cannot seem to do what I used to do in my youth. I get winded faster. I just am not able to put the brawn or the muscle behind what I did in the past. I am simply not as mentally astute as I used to be in life. I'm getting old. No, I am old. Every indication is that my years in this life are not all that many anymore. I'm living out the final years of my life in this world. And now, being old, I have one request of God. Forsake me not. You know, it was not as if David at this particular point in his life was afraid or worried that God was suddenly going to forsake him. God had never forsaken him. He had just reflected on that. God had always been with him. So it wasn't as if David, in making this particular request in the passage before us this evening, was afraid that God was suddenly going to abandon him in his old age. When David makes this request of God, it is not on the basis of fear or some kind of evil foreboding that David had about the future in his life. On the contrary, the request now that he makes in prayer was a request of faith. God had promised David that he would not forsake David, and David did not doubt that promise of God to him either at this point. He believed it. He believed it probably more than ever in his life at that point. Perhaps we can call our attention to something similar in our own experience as elderly saints in the church. How often we pray in our prayers, both private and family prayers, times I might even do it in a congregational prayer, how often we pray for the grandchildren or the future generations of the church, and we ask of God this: Lord, cut us not off in our generations. Preserve our children. Preserve our grandchildren faithful unto thee. Now, when that request is made, it's not as if we doubt the fact that God will preserve his church in the generations of believers. We believe that. We hold to that. So we don't make that kind of request, you see, in doubt or in fear. But we make it really on the basis of God's faithfulness to us. We don't make it on the basis that we see our children or our grandchildren necessarily as horrible sinners, but we make it on the basis of God's covenant, a covenant that he establishes with us in our generations. But we pray it because we very well know that God gives grace to those who ask. We need constant assurance from our Heavenly Father that he is being faithful to us. We need that when we are young, but we need that when we are old as well. Perhaps we even need to know that more than a youth, that God yet remains faithful to us in our lives. So the aged saint in our midst raises the request in his or her prayer, Lord, forsake me not. Forsake me not. Do not leave me alone. Do not let my spiritual foes take advantage of me now in my own weakened condition. Preserve me because I know that my enemies never give up. They never give up. My enemies are relentless. My sin is still there. Let not my resolve to fight against sin be weakened. I had an 86-year-old grandfather that would come over to our house once a week. stay for the day. And I remember sitting down with him and saying, "Pocky," because that's what we called our grandfather, "Pocky, it must be nice being old now. You don't sin that much anymore." And he looked at me and said, "I sin more now than what I ever have." I couldn't believe it that an old man would say that. I mean, an old man who sits around in the house all day long isn't tempted by the many temptations that I did was as a young man now. And he's saying that he sinned all the more. Just because one grows old doesn't mean that he is free of sin or struggle against sin. It's not true. It's always there. In fact, as you grow older, you become a lot more aware of the sin that dwells in you, that oftentimes gives in to the temptations. So you become a little bit more attuned to what sin really is in your own life. So the prayer of the psalmist, "Lord, forsake me not now in my battle against my foes. May I not give up on my life. May I not give up on my battle. May I not give up on my family. May I not throw my hands up in despair and say, I'm just too old for this." How many times we have wanted to do this? Isn't that true? Those of us who are elderly in the church here, in this place. When we see that no matter how old we get, there are troubles. Troubles in the family. Troubles in the church. Look at David. An old man and his own son was committing treason against him and was out to kill his own father. When we see that no matter how old we get, there are troubles in family and in church, it can become wearisome, can't it? No wonder David raised this prayer, "Lord, forsake me not." First thing that we would want to do is give up. But that is when we fervently make this request. "Uphold me with the Spirit, work in me, that I might continue to walk in wisdom's way and to persevere in the truth. Give me boldness in the faith. Give me wisdom that now comes with the years of warfare that I have fought. Lord, give that to me and forsake me not. Give me strength. Give me power to stand strong in heart and soul in the ways of God and not simply go along with things as they might be happening in my family or in the church because I'm just too weary to change them and I don't feel like fighting anymore. I know, that's an easy thing to do. I know it from my own experience. I'm too old to fight for the truth. Leave it to the young. Such an easy thing to say. And therefore our desire must be that of David's. Oh God, forsake me not. Why? Why do we ask that of God? Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. That's why we need God's strength. That's why we wish God not to forsake us. We must desire the strength to show and declare to the generations coming the strength and the power of God that He has shown to us in our lives. Oh, God has shown to us as elderly saints many wondrous ways that He has dealt with us. Ways that we know we in our own strength would not be capable of handling whatsoever. But God has the strength. God has the power to uphold us in this life. The word strength means exactly that, strength or might. The word power actually means ability. God has the ability, the wisdom, to show to us in our lives the way that we ought to go. He showed that to us as our lives have been led through this world. And He showed to us also that He had the power to do all things as well. Strong to do anything that He desires. The sovereign God of heaven and earth. And it is this that David yet desired to show to the generations to come. Do we as elderly saints understand that desire of David? As old people, elderly people in the church, God has set us here to be examples. Whether we want to be, as David does here, or not, we are examples to all who follow us. We are examples to our own children, to the generation to come, and to our grandchildren, to those who come after our children. We are examples to the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole, because they see us as elderly saints. And they watch us. In fact, they watch us more closely sometimes than what we even realize. And that's good. I pray that that's good. It's good. They ought to be watching us. When an older saint is spiritually strong, it's good that those parents of the church who are yet struggling with their children at home, it's good for the youth of the church, it's good for the little children of the church to watch us, because we are examples to them of God's power and strength in the midst of His church. And that must be our desire too. Lord, spare me and strengthen me in order that by my walk, by what I talk about, what I say to the young, I might be an example of Thy strength and of Thy power in the midst of the church. Look at what God has done for us in our lives as older saints in the church. Speak of it! Declare it to the generations following. We need not be afraid to do that. We ought not let that younger generation shut us out because they think that we're just too old to be able to relate to them in their particular lives and in their particular temptations. Let them know that we lived exactly through the same temptations that confront them today. And that we, in our youth, had to deal with the same temptations that they have yet today. Maybe in a little different form, coming to us in a little different form, but nevertheless, we had the same struggles, exactly the same struggles that they have as youth. The same struggles that our children have in raising their children. We've lived through that. And as we have lived through that, we have experienced God's faithfulness, His strength, and His power in upholding us and leading us through those many different temptations, those many different wars that we had to fight in our lives. So don't be intimidated, elderly saints, when you see young grandchildren kind of smiling at you as if Grandpa and Grandma can't relate to us anymore. They're just too old. Speak to them of the power and the strength of God in your own life and how He has shown you through to where you stand right now as an elderly saint in the church, and let them know. Then we become an active and a positive witness in the Church of Jesus Christ, one that God uses in His church, one that God uses in the generations of believers as they grow up in the Church of Jesus Christ. And children, and young people, and married adult, younger or middle-aged people, don't despise their age. Listen to them, because God has given them much wisdom through the battles they have fought in their own lives. And God has preserved them faithfully in all of those battles, even as you pray now that God will preserve you. Listen to their wisdom. Listen to their advice. God places elderly saints in our midst for that reason. And that reason is to aid and assist in maintaining the covenant blessing of God in His church. That has everything to do with the future blessing of the church. God establishes His covenant. He does that in the line of generations in the church. He does that. And every generation, so long as it lives, must be active in that place in the covenant that God establishes. That's true when we're young and God gives us the strength of youth. We have to battle already then for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's true of us as struggling parents in the home who are instructing our children in the fear of the Lord. But that's true of the elderly saints too. God uses them as well powerfully in His church. And our elderly members must know that. And our youth must know that as well. Because then we will see come to pass what the Apostle Paul teaches Titus, where he says to Titus, let the elder women teach the younger in the church. And then we see fulfilled what the Apostle Paul teaches Timothy, young Timothy, when he says, the younger shall take heed to and hear the elder and respect them for their place in the church as well. And the result will be God will indeed carry on His covenant in the generations of the church, and the church will be happy and healthy. What a blessing when God's people strive together in God's covenant to walk faithfully before our God. We thank God tonight for the older generation of saints in His church. How important you two are to the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gracious God, forsake us not when we are old and gray, that we might to the generations that come tell of Thy mighty works and ways. And Father, may we as a Church of Jesus Christ learn to appreciate the older saints in the church as well. It is true that in our own congregation, we could consider the old saints, Ron and Sylvia, who no longer are here for worship in our midst. And yet we realize that there are elderly saints that, as they grow older in the midst of Thy church, become the new godly examples to us too. And we pray that Thou wilt establish us as a congregation in the generations of believers so that we might see here a church that has children, youth, parents in the home, and elderly saints. Wilt Thou continue to bless us in this way. Father, wilt Thou grant unto us now Thy blessing in this night too, as we bid farewell to an elderly saint of our congregation. We ask thy blessing upon us in our farewell to him too. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.